Welcome to episode 52 of the Werewolves podcast. That's 52 episodes, as in the DC Comics 52.
Okay.
Oh my god.
52 episodes.
Pokemon. With the pokey and the man.
Let's not talk about that one. It's a sensitive subject. Blah, blah.
Okay. Welcome, everyone.
We're strange.
And you should know by now, you know?
Yep.
You would think by now you'd be used to this. So.
And we actually have... We came prepared again. We actually had we did an outline again.
We have an outline?
What?
We did it again?
I like how you even named it Gabby Goose.
Yes, this is not a joke, folks. when creating the outline for the show, I of course called the file Gabby Goose.
Gabby Goose.
Gaming news. Even voiceover tries to pronounce it that way.
It does.
Gaming news.
Gaming news.
Okay. Let's see. Let me go to the top of the tippity. Okay. Okay, so I did provide a link to one supporting article for one of the things, but I'm not going to like read from that. I just put it in there for us.
Yeah, I read it.
In case you wanted to see it, Sterlock is basically why I put it in there.
Yep.
All right. So, by the way, we are recording on Skype again because I'm dumb and went into the beta of iOS 14. And
that's what you get for using beta software, you silly person.
That's what I get. That's a fair punishment. Yeah. How dare I? Okay. Okay, let's begin then. So it's going to be all run together. It's going to be one single segment, and we're just going to do the thing because we have things to talk about. So we're going to talk about them. Dang it. On episode 52.
Indeed.
So here we go. We start with PlayStation 4 controllers will work on PlayStation 5, but only for PlayStation 4 games. Thoughts, Sterlock?
And I mean, I don't know. I feel like the internet is overreacting to this a little bit. I'm not surprised by this, but it seems like everyone else on the internet kind of is for some reason. I don't know why.
I
don't understand. Like,
I'm not surprised by it, but I do understand some of it. Because right on the heels of this, we got if you're a sighted human being, there's now a full 360 degree view of the PlayStation 5's DualSense controller, which is cool, except that it reveals that there's absolutely, definitely, positively, 100% no back buttons. So the problem comes in now for our motor impaired friends.
Yeah.
Who were hoping that either they could just use PS4 controllers on PS5 games, or there'd be back buttons, or there'd be an attachment for back buttons on the PS5 controller.
See, yeah, okay. I didn't think of these things are true. But yeah, that's a legit. I was just thinking of the sighted public that's just all freaking out because, like, oh my god, my DualShock 4.
I mean, that's kind of irrational because you're getting a controller with more features anyway. You're going to have a PS5 controller.
Your
PS5 is going to come with a PS5 controller.
It's coming with the controller. It's kind of a non-issue. Yeah, that's kind of a non-issue. But I do, yeah, like the whole back button thing is kind of like, it's
not. Yeah, for the motor impaired, it's a huge loss.
Hopefully they'll make PS5 attachments.
Hopefully they will, but for right now, trust and believe. I've seen it on the internet. Microsoft is taking full advantage of this.
Yeah, they are.
I have seen it on the internet, folks. They posted
a tweet that They pounced on that quick.
Hard. They posted a tweet that literally says, hey, guess what? You can use any Xbox controller on all Xbox Series X for any game, including, and the, yes, this was included in the tweet, the Xbox Adaptive Controller, the Xbox Elite Controller, the Xbox Elite 2, blah, 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 you know.
Oh, man.
Pounced on it.
I think I said it before. I don't remember if I said it on the podcast or not, but this really is, to me, kind of the modern-day Sega versus Nintendo from the 90s. Like, they are taking any opportunity to fire shots at the other company. Like,
both companies
are doing this. It's like, man, this is like the console wars like revival. I mean, we really didn't have this since the 90s. I feel like now you had it a little bit with the PS4 versus Xbox One thing at the very, very beginning.
Oh, you definitely did with the sharing games debacle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But here's how you share a game on PS4.
But really, thanks. After that, you didn't really have much. But now, this is like console war 2. Like, this is like
it's the sequel to the movie.
Stuff's getting it's getting like it was in the old days, where like some of the stuff is getting downright kind of ugly. Like, oh man, like there's both sides are firing shots across the bow.
And the thing is, like, I
gotta get a big point to Microsoft on this one.
Big point. Microsoft wins this round, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that they even brought up the adaptive controller too,
when mentioning, hey, guess what? You'll be able to use this. Mm-hmm. Boom! Like,
that's a big deal.
Yep, shots fired, dude. Yep. Microsoft wins this round. And that's the way it is. Like, I respect that. Like, you know,
I actually agree. And from an accessibility standpoint, I absolutely agree with Microsoft on that.
Yeah, I completely do too. That is the right move. Sony does need to do something about this. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's going to bite them.
Whether it's releasing a separate controller or whether it's allowing use of DualShocks on PS5 games. So here's the thing. Just because we cover both sides of gaming news, let's look at it from the other perspective too. We both understand the reason why this is. The reason why this is because the PS5 controller has a bunch of features that Sony wants developers to put into games.
Right.
But if these features aren't available on the PS4 controller, like the trigger thing and the haptic feedback thing and all that stuff, and to make sure those features are utilized, Sony is making it so you have to use a PS5 controller to play PS5 games.
Which,
I understand
from a business
standpoint,
makes total sense.
I do understand that, but I think
really they need to just either include back buttons on the controller, which
that's not going to happen because controllers
are already manufactured. It's already manufactured.
Yep.
Or just do like they did for the PS4 and make the attachments again. I think people will be okay with that.
They need something. Something needs to happen here. I think probably the least likely thing is they probably won't ever allow PS5 games to play with DualShock 4.
No.
So it's either going to be an attachment or a separately made controller that is also a PS5 controller.
Yeah.
But then you do something.
Really, if I feel like if Sony was smart and they really, really wanted to capitalize on that monopoly, that accessibility monopoly that Microsoft's got right now, is like they would make their own adaptive controller. But
yeah, I mean, I was hoping they do that years ago.
But that's kind of getting into the whole Japanese company.
Yeah, that is an unfortunate truth.
They really, like, Japan is light years behind the rest of the world in terms of accessibility. I hate to say it, because I have a ton of respect for Japanese, you know, developers and stuff. Yeah. But they have a lot of catching up to do.
They're very anti-disability, from what I've heard.
They are. And it really sucks.
Yeah. So, like, you know, on one hand, there's a thing that could be pervasive that's, you know, you should be happy that we got anything. Like, good thing we got the back button attachment for PS4, right? But no, like, I'm the kind of person who wants to fight for stuff. So I'm not just happy with that. I'm not just content with that. I think Sony needs to do something. And I think people need to keep pushing them. I think if you're angry about this, then be angry about it and let PlayStation know you are. Because
yeah,
that's the only way that change is going to happen here, I think.
Yep.
So that's a problem, and that's a thing, and that's a story.
And then people are also like,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, what were you going to?
I was just going to say, for me, being, how do I put this? So, like, since I don't have a motor impairment, I'm still very much looking forward to the PS5. Like, I can't help it. There's so many other things that I want in the PS5 that I'm still very much looking forward to it. And I'm with the motor impaired amongst the audience. I'm with you guys. I will. In fact, I'll do what I can to fight for it, too. But that said, I'm not going to boycott the system or anything like that. I really want one.
Honestly, boycotts very rarely are effective. Works.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but
people will buy what they want. Simple as that.
I mean, look at Last of Us 2. I mean, sorry, guys. You know.
Sorry, Hayden.
Yeah.
You lost. You know.
But that's not the only backlash Sony's been getting this week.
Indeed, it's not.
So it has come out within the past couple of days that there's a new. We've known about it for a while, but it's not out yet. There's a Marvel Avengers game coming out.
Yep.
Probably even talk about that more.
We will. We'll get to that later too. Yep.
But it's come to light that Spider-Man, kind of a big character, you know.
Dr. Peter Spiderman.
Yep.
Sorry, that's a fill-in.
Spiderman.
Good.
Or is exclusive to the PS4 version of the game.
Yep.
And people are not happy.
Nope.
The backlash to this, I think, is even more severe than the controller backlash.
The controller
people,
thing?
People are really pissed off about this. Yep. And I understand it.
Again, I totally understand it. Like, I hate to say it, guys, but I totally understand it. I do, because I've always heard, first of all, to get this out of the way, I've always heard that Marvel is really weird with the way they license stuff, and they're very specific, so it would not shock me at all to learn that the reason this is happening is because Insomniac, being a PlayStation 4 first-party studio now, because PlayStation bought them, fully purchased them now, Insomniac is probably the studio that has the video game rights to the Peter Spider-Man now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that,
people are debating rights... that, though. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. Sony does not have rights. They have the movie rights, but they do not have the video game rights.
They don't? I thought they did.
Nope.
Ooh.
They only have the movie rights. Marvel has the video game rights.
So the video games are wholly owned by Marvel?
Yep. That's my understanding of the situation.
If that's true, then people have a legitimate case here, because that's kind of dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I could understand it if that included the video game rights, but from what I understand, it does not.
Yeah, see, that was the angle I was taking on it, was that Insomniac had the rights, and therefore that's why they couldn't put it on. But then again, no, they do have a case, because I just remembered that Spider-Man is in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 for Switch, which came out after Spider-Man for PS4.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they do have a case. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I,
oh boy. I wonder I think why
this is
going to
get ugly. I don't know. It's weird. Apparently, I didn't click on it, but I saw in my recommended feed this morning on YouTube that apparently there are other exclusives too. I didn't see what they were. I should have, but
so this is going to be like the Call of Duty of Marvel games or something.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Like this is
I have to agree. Unfortunately, I have to agree now.
This is really going to tarnish the game.
My perspective has just changed because because I thought it was one way and it's not that way at all. And oh boy, that's not good at all.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some lawsuits. I think.
I seriously think the best thing to do is to just get rid of that exclusive as fast as possible to save the game.
Yep.
And put Spider-Man on everything.
Because you better believe that thing is going to get review bombed into oblivion. I'm sorry, Metacritic, but your little, attempts to negate those aren't going to do anything. They already haven't. But oh man, I feel really bad for the developers because stuff like this is not up to them. It's corporate that makes all these decisions.
Yeah,
and the developers kind of pay for it, which
it's true.
Sucks. Like,
yeah, a lot of developers. Well, typically a developer doesn't mind a console exclusive, but when it comes to like exclusive content for a game, mostly developers don't like that, from what I've heard. Yeah. Because they want to make this thing, and they want everyone to be able to use it.
Now, there are places where it makes sense, and the thing that comes immediately to my mind is the whole
Soul Calibur 2.
So that and the whole Last of Us tie in with Diablo.
Oh. yeah, that makes sense.
Stuff like that is fine.
That's a little deal. It doesn't affect either game.
I don't really have I don't have a problem with that. Like little things like that, but like big, like it's freaking Spider-Man. Like he's one of your biggest characters,
and there's a difference between
this isn't a throwaway character that like no one's gonna care about. It's fucking Spider-Man.
Number one is Spider-Man, you're right, but there's also a difference between things like the clickers and bloaters from Last of Us appearing in Diablo, which are enemies, not characters you play, and an actual hero with actual moves that you could theoretically control, and every hero plays differently, and it would be pretty cool to play as Spider-Man and see what his moves are, and see what his ultimates are, and oh my god, but no.
I feel like they're going to have to reverse this decision at some point, or at least cut down on the timetable.
Because it's timed exclusive, yeah.
We don't know. We don't know if it's timed exclusive or not. It could be, or I don't know, but they got to do something because this is going to tarnish the game forever.
Yeah, they're going to answer this.
And it's going to... I don't know. I feel like it could get litigious if they're not careful.
It could. You could lose a lot of sales this way.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is an instance where I actually would argue for boycotting. Vote with your wallet, Don't buy the game on any platform if you feel that strongly about it. That being said, I mean, I feel like a lot of people would probably buy it on PS4 anyway, but I don't know. I feel like that
some people don't have it. I mean, so there's so many options though with Avengers. So it's coming out on Stadia. It's coming out on Xbox One,
Mm-hmm.
So, but now every other platform is like at a loss and people don't like that.
Yeah, this is unprecedented and not in a good way. Like,
yeah,
it'd be like, Scorpion being exclusive to the Mortal Kombat 12 on on Xbox or whatever.
Dude, that would suck too. And I don't even like Scorpion that much. Sub-Zero's
only on PS4, you know? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, no. Like,
Spider-Man is an Avenger, therefore he should be in an Avengers game. No matter how, where you play it.
Yeah.
So, yep. Pretty simple.
It's just, this whole thing is just really, really bad. And
it's bad.
It's bad. But yeah, the backlash from this has been pretty swift, and it doesn't show any signs of slowing down so far. Yeah. So,
well,
oh boy,
your move, Square Enix.
Yeah,
your move. all right. Well, moving on from that to another bit of controversy here. Halo Infinite developers.
Oh boy.
Have said they are, quote, working quickly, and I actually noticed a typo I made here, a pretty giant typo, I don't know how I made it. They're working quickly to address the feedback from the demo they showed at the game's showcase. I put a question here after that quote that says, worse than we thought, because that seems to be what the issue is.
Yeah. And if they're saying that, like, that's, like...
Because
normally, like, if I feel like if it wasn't as big of a deal, they probably would have said that. Like, they would have been like, don't worry, you know, everything's going to be fine. Like, I don't know.
Tried to do that, though. Like, they tried to reassure us that, hey, don't worry, this demo comes from a slightly older build that's on a PC that is equivalent to an Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then the feedback... Why would they
turn around and then say this?
Yeah. So, like, the feedback from the demo should have been a relative non-issue. Like, if you already know that all the things that people are having problems with are, you know, no longer problems in the current build or whatever, then this is not a problem. Except it is apparently a problem.
Right.
They're working quickly to address it. That does not bode well for Halo Infinite, in my opinion.
But the bad thing is, like, this is going to be a launch title.
Yeah, this is your big one too. It's not just launch title; it's the launch title.
It's August. Like, console's probably coming out in November. Like,
November, December at the very latest.
That doesn't give you very much time to work with, because games got to go gold like a month. A month and a half before release. So, uh-oh.
This is a big uh-oh. Like, working quickly better be an understatement. You guys better be, like, going insane if this is a huge problem, because this is your big launch title. This is it. This is the one you're banking everything on.
Yeah. Like, this is literally going to make or break the Series X.
Yeah, this is your first impression you're giving people, like, of the Series X.
It's not good.
Not good. It's not good.
It's not good at all. No, don't do it, man.
Speaking of things that are not good.
man, it's... What a downer episode this is today.
I'm very sorry. This is what happened.
Sorry, guys. This is the news this week.
This is the news, man. So, Ubisoft.
Yep.
Another executive has left. The vice president of editorial has left. Due to the many, many, many allegations that are going around Ubisoft, abuse of power, so on and so forth. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Boy, I don't know how much you watch Jim Sterling.
I never watched Jim Sterling.
He has been riding them hard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, like merciless. Like, he basically wants, like, the entire company, like, dismantled. And just, like, you know, reassembled, basically.
Rebuilt from the ground up.
Yeah.
That's not likely to happen. No,
because he knows, because he personally knows people that, like, have been affected by this, and he kind of understands how deep this goes.
Yeah.
And even that article says that, like, yeah, the people that are gone are the people that everyone already kind of knew about anyway.
Oh, boy.
And there's still a lot more that needs to be done.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, this is...
not. I mean, if there's a positive anywhere in this, in all this controversy, I think the biggest positive is that one of the people that was holding projects back is gone now. But one of the people that affected Assassin's Creed, was it Syndicate? I think he affected in a major negative way.
Oh, women don't sell, Brandon. Didn't you know that?
Right. Yeah. That guy. Yeah. So apparently, in the more recent Assassin's Creed games, Ubisoft, the development teams themselves, gotta remember, Ubisoft is made of like hundreds and thousands of people. So the development teams themselves making the Assassin's Creed games were pushing for the female protagonist to be the only protagonist.
Yep.
And they were disallowed from doing that by the same creative director that has now been let go for sexual
literally told them women don't sell.
Yep.
Oh, even though there are
would you like multiple, some examples?
multiple examples of the complete opposite of that, but
what was it The Last of Us 2 just made again? Oh yeah, 4 million copies, yeah, 3 days.
Tomb Raider, Mirror's Edge,
Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, no, like
we could go on, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
so I mean, if there's any positives, that's it. But it's just shocking to see a company going through all of this, especially, you know. And granted,
it makes me sad because of like the strides that they're trying to take in the accessibility department.
Yeah, and that's part of it for me too, because this is a company that I can now say that, I mean, even, you know, to a small scale, but I can now say that I've worked with some of these people. Well, not, here's the thing. I haven't worked with any of the people that have been let go. From what I've heard, a lot of the people that are being let go are either from the France office or from the Toronto office.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't worked with any of them. I was exclusively at Montreal office. So, but that said, it's still a company that I have a little bit of a history with now.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this sucks to see this happening to them. But mm-hmm. I guess all I can really hope for, I mean, I don't support abuse. I don't support, no. You know, sexual misconduct. So honestly, as much as this sucks because it's affecting the company, I do want everyone responsible for that kind of behavior to be let go.
You know?
It needs to happen. It's just like, it's terrible that it's all coming out. And, like, it's all being revealed.
We're also not saying that the entire company is corrupt.
No. And that's why I was clear to mention that Ubisoft is composed of thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people in the company. And Ubisoft is a company, and as development teams are fantastic. They still do they still make great games, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it were up to like someone like Jim Sterling, Yves Guillemot would be gone too. but you know, that's not going to happen.
It's probably not going to happen. He's been there too long. He's too entrenched.
Yep. It's been an ongoing thing. I think this is the first time we've really talked about it. We did talk about it a little bit on the podcast. But
yeah, I think we briefly kind of touched on it, but it's been going really... for... We haven't really gone into detail.
Yeah, but this is a continually developing thing, and it's just like, oh, geez, okay. Like, this is still very much a thing. And
yeah, things are still coming down from this, and it happened, you know, it started weeks ago, and this stuff is still going on, even up to this week, so.
And from the sounds of it, they're not done yet, so.
Nope. But, you know, like I said, honestly, this is bad for the company. It's a bad look to the fact that this was ignored for so long. But now, all we can do is, and all they can do really is damage control, and get those people out of there.
Yeah,
and that's the best thing they can do.
And hopefully, you know, some healing can come from this, and it'll be a better company in the long run for it. I hope so.
Exactly.
I really hope so, because I hate to see companies, you know, fold. No one wants that, really. But
yeah, no, Ubisoft. Ubisoft is good. Ubisoft is making accessibility strides, as we all know. They're making good games, as we all know.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a few misfires in the past couple of years, but sure, everyone does.
Everyone does. Yeah. No one is you know, perfect.
But even now, like, people are looking at, back at Watch Dogs 2 being getting ready for Legion. I've actually seen people who are excited about Legion playing Watch Dogs 2, maybe for the first time, because, so a lot of people didn't like Watch Dogs 1 because it wasn't as expansive and broad as Ubisoft told us it would be.
Yeah, they did oversell it a bit. I remember that.
But people that played Watch Dogs 2 generally liked it a lot more than 1, but a lot of people just ignored 2 because they hated 1.
Because 1 was, now, yeah.
But now, because of Legion coming out, I've seen people starting finally playing 2 and be like, wait a minute.
Oh, this is actually
Watch Dogs 2 was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And Legion looks great. I can't.
Man, Legion, dude.
I can't wait for Legion.
It sounds so awesome.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds so awesome.
Awesome.
I can't say anything about it, but I when I went to E3 in 2019, when I went to E3, we got to go into the press Watch Dogs demo.
Oh, cool.
So we got to see the stuff the press saw.
Nice.
And I can tell you that it really is. It really is. Like, that. Like, what you've heard in, like, the gameplay trailers and stuff like that, it's that. Like, I can't say any more than that. I'm not supposed to talk about what we saw.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really is something else. Like, what they've pulled off, if they can make that work the whole game, it's pretty impressive.
It's living up to the concept that they were pitching.
Yes,
from a couple years ago.
Absolutely, it is.
Nice.
And they made sure we saw that it was living up to
that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm waiting for the Grandma Army.
Yeah,
playthrough.
Like, I'm looking forward to the video you guys know is coming, because you know that I'm basically kind of like partnered with Ubisoft on a kind of small level, so you know that when Watch Dogs Legion comes out, we'll be doing the same thing like we did with The Division 2, like we did with Breakpoint. Yep. Same thing. We're gonna make one of those videos. So yep. Look forward to that.
Yeah.
So next news item. I had a little bit of fun with this one. In the writing, in the outline that we wrote, I said, Sony has announced a state of play for this week. What day will it occur on, you may be asking? Why?
Thursday,
of course.
Yay! They always do this. Microsoft does too, though, because Microsoft was on Thursday as well. So
yeah, Microsoft does too. No. Everyone always does this to us. I guarantee it's some kind of conspiracy against us. That's all it is.
Yeah, yep.
They're just no longer our podcast, that's all.
Yep. Nope.
So here's the thing about the PS5 State of Play. I'm actually really surprised, not that it's happening, but at the next part of the statement that I wrote.
Yep.
No major PS5 announcements.
Again. Yeah, it's a PS4-centric thing. Like
PS4, what? PS4 and PSVR, apparently. However, there will be what they're calling check-ins with PS5 games that have already been announced. So there will be PS5 things during the State of Play, but nothing new.
Yeah.
There'll be updates on existing things that we've already heard about.
Kind of bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like,
we're getting down to it, Sony. Like,
you only have like 3 months, 4 tops.
And honestly, this kind of applies to Xbox too, because really, Xbox hasn't, as much as Xbox has said lately, which is still good, but they still haven't announced price either.
Well, that's the weird thing is, like, we should know prices by now.
I feel like we should, yeah. Pre-order should be available, too, by now.
Like, I mean, people got to save up, you know what I mean? Like, they people make, you know, these purchasing decisions sometimes, you know, months in advance.
Months in advance, yeah.
You can't, a lot of people can't just go out and on a whim, I'm going to buy a PS5 or Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
You know, you have to plan for it. Like, okay, I'm going to put $50 aside for a few months and save up and get, you know, the new console. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It just seems really, it's weird. Really weird.
It's really weird. It's really, really weird. So there is still a rumor floating around, though, that there will be another event this month from Sony that will be PS5-centric and will be the event that everyone's been waiting for. There is another rumor that's floating that says it will be this month. But again, it's still just a rumor.
I don't know. It's so weird.
It's bizarre. The only thing I can say for the state of play, the only positive that I have, and there is one positive, and I do see this as a positive, believe it or not. So, state of play videos, when a video is a state of play, typically it is going to be either 10 or 20 minutes long.
Yeah, they're usually not very long.
They have announced that this one will be 40 minutes long.
Okay.
So, that's cool in that what is going to be discussed will probably be discussed in great detail. Mm-hmm. Be that PS4, PSVR, or existing PS5 titles we already know about. I mean, there will probably be a lot of information there, just not necessarily the information that everyone is looking for.
Yeah.
But hopefully that rumor of... The thing is, it keeps being a rumor, though. But again, hopefully the rumor is true about Sony doing another event later this month that is going to be the PS5 information we've all been waiting for. Yep. Finally. Hopefully that's true.
And there's more... There's also, speaking of rumors, there's also... Nintendo Direct rumors for August surfacing again, like,
oh,
but nothing. I don't know. Nintendo is so weird with their directs because they only really announce them like a couple of days beforehand.
Yeah,
it's very bizarre.
I mean, maybe that's something to do with like they don't want things leaking early, but things still leak.
But they leak anyway. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's man, what are these companies doing, man?
Yeah, I don't know, but nevertheless, I will be watching State of Play tomorrow, and I will do a rundown.
I'll write down a rundown,
and we'll cover it next week. That's the plan. So that's all for gaming news.
Gaming news.
But we do have a couple of accessibility things to cover. And one of them, we both actually feel really bad for not covering last week.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, we got so swept up in the air. I'm not really surprised by it anymore because I thought about it. And I was like, wait a minute. We were so swept up in the Xbox rundown.
Yep.
And that was so much of the show that I don't feel super terrible about it anymore, but I still feel bad about not covering it. But anyway, Blizzard has begun their accessibility effort.
Yep.
And I want to use those words very clearly.
Yeah.
Because there's been some crazy people. Some people just always have to complain, is what I'm saying. Blizzard has begun their accessibility effort. They have just begun it.
It has begun.
It has begun. Battle.net. Oh. So yeah, the Battle.net game launcher application that Blizzard uses, as of the most recent beta of the application, is screen reader accessible. Yep. I am proud to say.
Apparently, the installer still isn't though for it, which is kind of silly. Yeah,
they are aware. They are aware because.
Yes.
I'm proud to say that I was involved in that. Yeah, I was involved in that. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
That's why it's funny. People were like, people on my, I was streaming at the time when the beta came out, and someone came into my stream chat, and I actually don't know who it was because that was when I was streaming from the PS4 directly.
It was like, me.
It was you?
It was me.
Like, I was like, hey, so you were like, hey, did you know the Battle.net launcher was accessible? And I'm just like, yeah, I know.
Yep. I should have guessed you would have had a hand in it, though. Like, it. Yeah.
Yep. So I helped with that. So people are lashing out. People are like, but the games aren't accessible, though, so you suck. But dudes. Okay. Dudes. So, hold up. Blizzard has used the Battle.net launcher for years now. Actual years. Like, they use it, I think, they started on around, I think, the time that, let me think.
I think it launched with one of the WoW expansions. I don't remember.
Was it the WoW expansion? So what I was thinking of is I thought it was the, what is that called? The expansion to Diablo 1.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's slipping my mind right now.
That's called. I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
The one that adds the hive and everything like that.
Yeah.
I thought it might have launched around that time, but I could be wrong. I don't know. But it's been around for literally years, and it has been the way you launch Blizzard games for actual years.
Yep.
So, if they made the games accessible before they made the launcher accessible, when this is the system that they use, this launcher, then how would you launch the games that were accessible?
Yep.
This is the way it's going to go, guys.
It just seems pretty logical to me.
Battle.net is their launcher and their social platform, by the way.
Yeah.
So, like, now you could connect with Blizzard friends and chat with them, and that works fine, and everything's cool, and now you can do that. It's great. Can we play the games yet? No. But you guys got to realize that because they did this, like, you know that obviously they're thinking about accessibility.
Please make Hearthstone happen. Please make Hearthstone happen. Please make Hearthstone happen.
I know. I want Hearthstone so much. Even now, I still want it. I still want it so much. Dude, me and you would just play Hearthstone against each other for just hours.
Dude. I'd be just like, dude.
There is one particular Hearthstone stream. If I, oh my god, yes. If we could play Hearthstone, there's one particular deck that I want to build. Because I saw someone else use it. It's a deck that I would love to use myself because it's so deceptive. There's this deck that is based around one card. I believe it's called the God of Death, the card that is based around. And on its own, the God of Death isn't super great. Like, if you summoned it right away in the beginning of the fight, I think it's like a 4 attack, 4 defense or something pretty basic. You could probably kill it pretty quick if you summoned it right away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the other people, your opponents, the rest of the deck is composed primarily of these things called Acolytes. And the power on the God of Death card is that he gains 1 attack and 1 defense for every Acolyte slain before he is summoned. You fill the battlefield with these Acolytes, and you let your opponent...
Just cannon fodder, and just... Oh, that's...
And then...
You know, your opponent thinks they're winning.
Them to the Death God.
That's kind of awesome.
I want to build that deck. In accessible so Hearthstone.
That sounds so fun.
And dude, you know how Hearthstone is. Every enemy has its own audio.
Yeah.
And it's so great. When you actually summon the God of Death, he's like, "Death." He's like, "Oh god, so cool."
Oh man, that's so cool.
It's so cool. I love it. I want that deck.
Come on, Hearthstone, please.
I was like, "Oh man, here are my Acolytes. Too bad they're really weak. You should probably kill them."
Oh, you are winning. You are beating me.
You are the best at this game. Well, I have only one card to go. Here it is.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably counters to it if you know what to do, but that sounds like a fun deck.
I think there is. I think you can there are field wiping cards.
Yeah.
That will wipe you'll sacrifice your own stuff too, but you'll also kill everything of your opponents.
Yeah.
So they could actually still kill the Death God if they have one of those in one hit, regardless of what his attack and defense is. But if he gets to go first.
Yeah. That sounds like a fun deck though to play.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I want that one.
Especially if you don't know what's coming.
Like... Yeah. Oh, it's a harmless Acolyte. Oh.
Ooh.
That's funny. It's funny.
Oh,
and they all scream his name when they die too, because they're Acolytes of him.
Yeah.
So. Oh, dude, I love Hearthstone so much. I can't even play it. I love this game. Like, that's how much I want this game to be accessible. I do. I love it.
Oh, that'd be great.
So Blizzard, I'm right here. I want you to know I'm right here. I will. Help make this happen. Let's do it.
I feel like Hearthstone would require the least amount of effort of their existing.
Compared to their other games, yes, I agree with that. Like a lot of effort, sure, but like, the least amount.
Like, sorry, but World of Warcraft not happening. I'm just going to tell you guys right now, World of Warcraft
likely
not happening.
Likely no. Even with the controller support they added, they were only able to add controller support to the newest content.
Yeah.
I guess because they're changing the way that they built the content in the first place. So even with the controller support, you can't even use it like right away on a new character. It only applies to the newest content.
Jeez. Yeah.
Podcast soda. It's good stuff. All right. So yeah, Blizzard. Battle.net accessible. This is the first step.
Hey, here's helping Diablo 4.
Diablo 4, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Apparently Blizzard be watching my stuff, yo.
So I mean, I saw Nikki multiple times talking about, you know, watching your streams.
The excitement that she gets from people she shows it to every single time she does it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never know. You never know what'll happen.
Yep.
But yeah, you know that Hearthstone though, Blizzard, right here.
Please make that, please. Right here, God, I will become a professional Hearthstone streamer. If like, come on, make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, just like, and Blizzard Hearthstone actually has like the equivalent of, you know how Slay the Spire has the daily climbs.
Yep.
Hearthstone has weekly tavern brawls, which are essentially the same idea, where you have modified Hearthstone games.
Ah, nice.
So, I mean, it would always be fun. It just would always be fun.
Yeah.
Ah,
hey, okay. Hey, I throw down money for card packs. You better freaking believe
if the game was accessible, I would.
Yep.
Yeah. obviously. It's like a no-brainer, like...
Yeah.
Allow me to play the game, and absolutely, I would support it.
Yep.
And support myself with better cards. okay. So the next thing, in accessibility, is I got a rather unique opportunity recently, and it is a first for me. Believe it or not, of all the things I've done, this is actually a first. I got to release, for the first time ever, beta preview impressions at the same time as every other media outlet. Same day and everything like that. I've done like reviews for games, and I've done content post-launch for games and stuff like that, but I've never actually done a preview with that kind of embargo at the same time as other media outlets did. And this time I did. Yep. And what was it you asked? It was the Marvel's Avengers beta.
Indeed.
Indeed. So let's talk about it. Let's do a podcast version of my preview here.
Which I did read. I saw that.
Yeah. And as you said on your tweet, it's pretty much what you expected. But I feel like the point here, because the thing is, what you expected may happen several times.
Right.
But the point here is that I'm getting in with other companies who are willing to allow me to have this access.
And that's what I said in my tweet well. It's like, this is good that this is happening. This is a good first step.
Yeah, it is. It's
companies clearly are noticing you and are noticing
and
the work that you do and they want to improve.
Yeah, and I've gotten
they want your feedback
now too. So
yeah, so
from other game developers, they're like, hey, I want to work with you someday. Okay, cool.
Nice.
Let's do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool. So this is how it works. It just kind of flows and happens. But anyway, so preview impressions. It is not wholly inaccessible, but it is a lot of work. It would need a lot of work to become accessible. So again, so first of all, no narration. Square Enix is not known for narration in games, so that's not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprised.
You do have to sign up for a Square Enix account to play it, but the good news is that that part is actually technically easy comparatively to what you might be expecting.
Speaking of that, very quick tangent. I did figure out the Cerulean Games account thing for Fantasy Strike.
Oh, good. Because I'm probably going to need to know what that is as well.
Yep. So,
all right. So, yeah. Let me know post show, man. Yes. Let me know post show. So yeah. So technically, it is easier than you might be expecting. So, like, if you think of things like the Division 2, where we had a lot. No, not the Division 2. Breakpoint, where we had a lot of trouble with the main menu and the account and logging in, and it was terrible, a nightmare.
Yep.
This is not that. It actually allows you to go ahead and create your account on the website. So if you don't have one, you can create one on the website. And then, once it's created, to link your account to your PS4 profile, you actually go to the website, a website that's like sq.me/link, something like that. That might not be entirely correct, so don't go there. Just get him wrong. but it's a website like that. It's a short URL like that. And you enter a code into that site that you see on the game screen. Of course, you need site assistance for this, or maybe OCR would work, but I was lucky enough to have Misty around for the testing.
Yeah.
So OCR might work here, but you get the code from the game screen, you enter it into the thing, and boom, your profile is linked, and that's all you have to do. So that by comparison to other games, it's relatively easy to set that up. The game does have an easy campaign difficulty mode, which I do recommend if you're blind, because there is no blind accessibility specific features. So if you're going to try it at all, then just do it on easy and save yourself a lot of pain.
Yep.
So I think that's the best way to approach it. If you want to mess with it, fine, but I'd say do it on easy if you're going to do it. Now, there is a couple of things that could technically be considered accessibility features. Like, there are subtitles, which of course is an accessibility feature to the hard of hearing. There is also aim assist, but in my experience, the aim assist doesn't work great. It's kind of like the Division 2 aim assist, where it's kind of there, but it's not really noticeable.
It's meant to augment.
Augment someone who is already aiming themselves.
Yeah.
And make it a little bit easier, probably for people that are still using the thumbstick properly to aim.
It's not like The Last of Us, where it will aim at your target.
It will literally, yeah, no, it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I played enough of it that I can tell you for sure that it's not that helpful at all.
Yeah.
That said, once you're in the game, actual combat is a heck of a lot of fun. I mean,
I would assume so. I mean,
it's really a Marvel game. It really is. I mean,
I can help if you ever misplace your phone.
What?
I'm asking you to call your phone.
No.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, combat, a lot of fun. The combat audio is really cool. Like, it's not like, how do I explain this? The Last of Us 2 has good combat audio because it's super realistic, because that's the focus. Hyper realism, really violent, and you know, it sounds like that's what it is. Avengers audio is good because it is cinematic. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Not necessarily realistic, but it is the way you want the attacks from a superhero to sound. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you hit something with Thor's hammer or with the Hulk's freaking fists,
yeah,
they are big, massive thumps, and you will feel them.
Yeah.
This thing is loaded with bass, okay? And not only that, they actually do, they fully embrace it. The controller vibration works with the sound as well.
Nice.
So every ka-thump that you get is going to vibrate the crap out of your controller, too.
That's awesome.
You could turn that off, but I wouldn't recommend it, because that's
part of the combat. That's part of the fun.
That's part of the feel of the combat right there.
Yeah.
Everyone has like ultimate moves, and they're like little super moves. Captain America, you can actually has a really cool and really effective dodge where you tilt the thumbstick in the direction of your opponent and press circle, and you leap over them, so you're automatically behind them immediately. So really effective, even for blind people, because you can still hear enemies are coming from. The surround sound is decent enough that you can tell where enemies are coming from, so you can utilize that that dodge fairly effectively. The Hulk can, freaking smash stuff, really, really well.
I mean, he's the Hulk, so.
And I believe his ultimate, I don't know if this is an ultimate, but one of his moves that I pulled off is he will grab giant objects and throw them at your enemies. That is a thing you can do in that game.
That's awesome.
Thor, you can aim and throw his hammer whenever you want and retrieve it. And it works kind of like the axe in God of War, where he'll aim and he'll just spin it around until you decide to throw it. And then you press a button again to call it back. So it actually literally will stay where you throw it, and then you can call it back.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah,
so Iron Man, of course, is longer range. He has a lot of energy related attacks and longer range firing lasers and stuff and things. He was probably, I mean, I don't hate him, but he's probably the least favorite of my character, of the characters that I played as, because it's just so fun to be the Hulk or to be Thor and just just go nuts on enemies, dude.
Destroy everything.
It's so good. combat, a lot of fun. Like I said, surround sound is good, so you can determine where your enemies are coming at you from, so you can face them and appropriately swing your fist slash hammer at them, whatever. That's fine. That's doable. There are navigation elements. There is platforming. There is timed platforming in the sense that there's a moment where you have to jump across a breaking bridge that's in the process of breaking. And you can fall to your death. And if you fall to your death, you have to restart the whole thing.
Many
times. Yes, indeed. So that happened to me, of course, because jumping, not good at jumping.
Yep.
Those are problematic, and unfortunately, I did not get to finish the boss fight. I still have access to the beta. I can still try it. I have access for the whole beta period now, from the beginning to the whole thing. I can still try it, but I don't have a lot of faith in it, because the boss fight starts with... and this is the boss fight that was shown in the Avengers gameplay that was released before. The Taskmaster boss fight with Black Widow.
Oh, yeah.
It starts with you having to leap out of the way of things.
Ooh.
Like, leap out of the way of, like, this car that is, for some reason, flying at you. I don't know why, because, like, I don't think Taskmaster can do that. Like, but maybe he can. Maybe I don't know Taskmaster well enough, but I don't think so.
But
you're leaping out of the way of things, and you're leaping onto things, and that's how the boss fight starts. So I never actually got to fight him because there's so much platforming and jumping.
Yeah. Which
is unfortunate, because that really affects the experience for us.
Kingdom Hearts, this is not.
Yeah. finding objectives and stuff isn't easy for us either. I did kind of wander around at times. But another positive that I really liked is the way the tutorials worked. At least most of them. There's one that didn't work this way, unfortunately, but most of the tutorials worked in the way that the first couple Last of Us 2 tutorials worked, where you are time freezes with the message on the screen. And you can only do the thing the message is telling you to do. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a tutorial that says, for instance, you can use the heavy attack with Thor's hammer to smash large objects. And you do that to smash a barricade where these civilians are trapped behind it. But when you're at that point, time freezes until you actually hold triangle to do the smash. So,
see, I like stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that too. If there was narration coupled with that, that'd be great. That'd be actually literally a great feature. I had Misty to tell me what was happening and tell me what I was doing, but narration would have made that great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a good way to teach mechanics. So there you go.
Yep.
There are QuickTime events, though, and there are QuickTime events that will kill you if you fail them, which is unfortunate, except it's unfortunate that they exist because there's no narration, but the positive here is that they don't change.
Oh, that's good.
So they're not random. You could memorize them.
Good.
In fact, I did in one particular case as the Hulk. You have to jump across this gap onto a truck, then off of the truck, and then onto the ground. Then there's a tank that's firing a missile at you. You have to catch the missile and throw it back at the tank. Hulk can do stuff like that, bro.
That's cool. That's cool.
I know it's cool. I know it's cool. And he, by the way, if you actually succeed at catching it, he goes, catch! And he throws it. He throws it. Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's cool. Man. But I was able to memorize that one. Misty talked me through it and then I was able to get it.
Sounds like this game does a pretty good job of making you feel like the character.
It does. It really does. It really does. I really like that aspect of it. You really feel like all the characters. And I mean, come on. As you would expect, Captain America has a move where he throws his shield and it bounces around all the enemies. Because of course he does.
Yeah. You would expect that.
Yeah. So, it really does make you feel like you're every character. I didn't get to play as Black Widow because you start with her as the boss fight. And I only got to fail at jumping with her. So, unfortunately, I don't know what her attacks are like.
Yeah.
but yeah. So, yeah. But all the other characters I played with, yeah, you do feel like the characters. That's why I love the Hulk so much, dude. Yeah. That's why I loved it. I just loved it. Ah. Oh, apparently, I learned this in the video that Square Enix released. Because they did a beta rundown of themselves, I guess, of their own beta. And they kind of went through the beta and talked about all the things you could find. They didn't talk about literally everything. So there's some secrets, even in the beta, that we're going to hide from you. But
yeah, sure.
They talked about kind of a basic rundown. And just to give you an example of how much this game makes you feel like the characters, I didn't actually get to do this, but Iron Man's ultimate is the Hulkbuster suit. Now, anyone who knows what the Hulkbuster suit is,
yes.
You know how awesome that is.
Oh, dude. Dude.
He will call in the Hulkbuster suit.
Dude. Okay, that's... I gotta see a playthrough of this game now.
Oh no, dude!
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
That's epic.
Hulkbuster suit.
I did not get to try that, but oh, that's so cool.
Oh man.
Oh man. That was good stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much the whole thing. So I kind of concluded my impressions of it by saying it could be made accessible with some help, like traversal assistance, like the way The Last of Us 2 did it. That could help a great deal if it worked the same way as that. Audio cues, of course. Some navigation assistance and some narration. Pretty much, to be honest, this game would probably just benefit from The Last of Us 2 feature set. This is one of those games where I think that would mostly work.
Yeah.
Because, as I understand it, the missions are separate from each other. So it's not like open world Avengers. When you're done with a mission, you go back to what's called the war table and you choose another mission. And then you can interact with, you can bring friends along or just play it solo or whatever. So as long as the menus were narrated and all those other features existed, I think that would actually be perfectly fine. If we just basically plop the Last of Us 2 feature set into Avengers, I think that would actually work.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
It's a shame that it's not playable for us, but... the mere fact that they had you even do this at all is very telling that things are happening.
It's good. It's every
they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, every single thing like this is always going to be a good thing. So, and I've decided to be more proactive at pushing for stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I've already started contacting some like developers and trying to get on their like review lists and explaining why I want to be there, and so hopefully there'll be a lot more of this in the future.
Yeah.
Because this is what I want to do with this kind of
thing. I think only good things will come of this, even if the things that you review for now
are not necessarily
to be accessible.
Yeah. But yeah.
It will open doors in the future. I feel like.
Yeah, to like
other things being playable, like The Last of Us.
Because I was able to show Ubisoft immediate value in the Breakpoint video. Immediate value, came out of that. And then the Division 2 video as well.
They saw that menu thing and they were like, oh, yeah. They,
according to what I was told, they were like, oh, no. Oh, no. But they watched it. By God, they watched us mess with that for an hour.
That did take an hour, didn't it?
It did take an hour.
That was crazy. Oh my God.
Because people had to guide my cursor around. Yeah, no, a little bit more left. Yep, that's start game.
That was, yeah, oh boy. That was special.
Yep, it sure was. It sure was. Oh man.
Good.
But anyway, yeah, that's... that's my impressions of Avengers, and like I said, more to come. Based on what I've heard, I should be able to do that a lot more often in the future. So,
yep.
Cool. So that's all I have for some world news. I know that. I mean, I guess I don't know. No, I don't have anything else. I was gonna probably just start busting out talking about Slay the Spire again. Can't wait for California's mod.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Because, man, you're having a good freaking run, Slay the Spire, right now. Holy crap!
And the thing is, the craziest thing is that I've never gotten this far before. Like every one of my games before now was not this good.
Yeah.
And now I'm having this crazy run. I'm getting the best cards.
You have freaking.
I have Demon Form. Bro.
Demon Form is insane. Holy crap!
I love the game already, but this past stream was great fun, which is why I that decision to do it on Saturday was a spur of the moment decision because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do on Saturday yet, but I was like, "You guys want me to do it on Saturday?" And everyone's like, "Yes." Yeah.
Well, the Twitch thing makes it really enjoyable too. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, except the funny thing about that is only once in that whole stream were you guys ever divided on the card you were to vote for. Only once. Everyone voted for the same card all the time.
Well, a lot of times there were clear winners of which cards one though
should be taken.
Yeah.
But still, it's been great.
I am very much looking forward to Chaosbringers mod, though. That'll make things way quicker.
I think it will. Because I think I know what he's going for. Like, I'm guessing that there'll be... If it's the way I imagine it, there'll probably be, like, hotkeys for, like, checking things quickly. Like, what's your health? Control H. I don't know.
He's going for more of an authentic, like,
UI-based
experience, which is the way it should be, honestly, in my opinion.
I agree. It's actually UI is how I absorb things. Like, you probably noticed on stream that I kept checking my hand over and over again because I had trouble.
I do that too.
Okay, good. Because I have trouble just absorbing.
I do that constantly.
Because when you use a card, you have to keep in mind the numbers shift.
Yep.
It's hard for me to keep that in my head, so I constantly check what my hand is.
I do that too all the time. So,
but with a UI interface, non-issue.
You can just go through the menu, arrow through it, and just choose a card. Right.
Yeah.
And then probably just hit a hotkey to see what the info on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like
It's gonna be great.
Come on, Chaosbringer, please fix the bugs because I want to use it.
Well, the good news is I think I convinced him to work on it yesterday.
Seeing your playthrough was probably a motivator.
Well, no, he was in my Discord server. And he had just lost in Slay the Spire. And I was like, you know what would make you feel a lot better, Chaosbringer? Working on your mod. That'll do it. And then he actually responds back to that. He says, actually, it will. You joke, but it really will. So I may have gotten him to work on it last night without even trying. Nice.
Good.
Here's hoping. Chaosbringer, we're rooting for you, man.
I'd like donate to like an effort. I don't know, like
I would
like support the development in some way. Like
I would. It's a great thing that he's doing for us. Like that's how I see it. I don't care if there's even though there's a mod that already exists that makes it, you know, playable.
Not only for the Slay the Spire thing, but also for things like TCTS. I mean it's an invaluable part of your stream.
Yeah, it's really just not about my stream, though, either. It's about, like, really, he's doing things that are beneficial to the whole blind community. Sure, TCTS began because of issues with chat on my stream.
Yeah.
But it's benefiting everyone. A bunch of people are using it now.
So. I love it. I use it even casually in, like, Landale streams and Retropod. Like, it's just super, super, super useful.
Yeah, and he made it, like... a couple of days. It's like, it's not that hard, actually. Like, oh, okay, well, good for you.
Hey, all right, cool.
But yeah, man, Chaosbringer, bring it. Bring it. We are ready. We are bright. We are ready for your chaos, Chaosbringer. Bring on the mod. Bring on the mod.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, I don't think I have anything else for this this particular thing.
Nope.
All right. Well then, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of the Breakdown Walls Podcast, episode 52, as in 52, the countdown, Infinite Crisis. Crisis on Infinite Earths,
Action,
DC Comics.
Action 52
pickup.
A year of
podcastiness.
Podcasting. I don't know. I got nothing.
Yep. I mean, well, that was a lot. That was enough. I think we covered that. I think we covered it.
Yep. Sorry, guys, that a lot of the news was kind of not so good.
A little bit of a downer.
Yeah.
A little bit of a downer this week.
Hopefully next week will be better. Actually, next week will be better because we'll have the state of play stuff to talk about.
So. Yeah. That should be good. That should be good stuff. Even though it's not PS5 related, I mean, except for, you know, check-ins on existing PS5 things that we already know about, it's still going to be news about.
Some stuff to talk about. So.
Yeah, it'll be good stuff. Good, it'll show. Be better stuff than controversy.
Yeah.
It'll be good. So tune in next week for that. And that's going to do it for us. As always, check out breakdownwalls.net for all your Breakdown Walls needs, including the podcast right there on the front page, the Discord server, and, of course, information about the Breakdown Walls crew, including myself and Sirlock here. And that's going to do it. We'll see you next week for episode 53. Have a good one, folks.